You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Hi and welcome to Money Control. This is Jerome Anthony and you're tuned into the first episode in our new podcast series called Simply Saving. In this podcast, we'll be discussing everything that will help you save intelligently, spend smartly and make the most of your money. We have Money Control Personal Finance Editor Kezad Adijania, who will be giving you some kadak advice to ensure you have a sound bank balance for a better future. We are beginning this series with life stage financial planning. In other words, we are going to be starting the series with how a 20-year-old should invest, a 30-year-old, a 40-year-old, and so on and so forth. One of the primary reasons for this is because financial advice differs from how a 20-year-old should invest to how a 50-year-old should invest. So we are going to be starting the series with how the 20s, people in their 20s should be thinking about their bank accounts. And we have Kezad who will be talking about how they should handle their money, how they should spend it and where they should invest. Welcome to the show, Kezad. Firstly, let me ask you, let me tell you that I would love to go back to the 20s.
No, you honestly. Can't. You can't. Sorry, go you missed back, your chance.
Go back and just, you know, grab a hold of my bank account and get my future secured. But yes, I know that can't be done. And since that can't be done, let's help the other 20-year-olds listening in today on how he or she should start and what goals should they have, basically.
Okay, first and foremost, who is a typical 20-year-old? Okay, who is a typical person of the 20s? Okay, so this is a person who has just graduated out of college.
Right.
Okay, getting into her first or second job, or maybe even a third job. But, you know, it's just a 2 or 3 years of, just outside college.
Yes.
Okay, your first salaries are coming in. Either your first paycheck has just landed, or even if it's just 1 or 2 years down the line, you know, these are your initial salaries. Your money is coming into your bank account. You're earning money. You're independent. Many of them, you know, have moved out from their family homes and they have migrated to other places. So you've got to pay rent. You've got to manage your finances for the first time in your life that you're doing all this together. Plus, you know, you are single. So there are a lot of social commitments that are also out there. You know, you want to party, you want to drink, you want to dine, you want to eat, you want to go out for movies, you know. And so this is a stage of your life where there are a lot of expenses. You're getting the first feel of money in your hands because, you know, up to then, up to that time, you've been used to living on pocket money provided by your parents. But this is financial independence. So you're getting financial independence for the first time in your life. So it's all the more important for you to know how to handle the money to ensure that, you know, you don't just don't spend everything, whatever you're getting.
Right.
Because, you know, now you have to manage your own, you have to pay your rent. Okay, you have to buy groceries, you have to live in a city. Okay, and it's an expensive proposition, but at the same time, you also need to invest because it's also a time where you're single, so you don't have too many family responsibilities on your head. So you have that leeway to sort of plan your finances. Everything depends on you and your expenses.
Right.
So you know, this is a you know, to answer your question.
Yes.
What are the goals that typically you know, the funny thing is that in this group there is hardly any visibility of any goals. You know, because you just started to earn. You know, you want to, like, for your first, I remember my first year, you know, when I was working, you know, I didn't think of any financial goals. Like, I mean, this is the first, it gave you a lot of sense of freedom, of financial freedom, because you got money in your hands. So then you can afford to, that sense of freedom to be able to afford things that otherwise you wouldn't. You weren't able to afford, you had to go back begging for some money to your parents and all that.
Or if in my case, I had elder brothers, so they helped me.
So be it. Why not?
Yes.
But so, you know, this is a time where you don't really have too many goals. What are your goals? Typically in your 20s, you want to go for a, you know, fancy holiday, something that looks good on Instagram. So Instagram, you know, worthy holidays. So many times, we see around us whenever anybody joins fresh out of college, mm-hmm. there's always sometimes there is an ambition, not always, but many people have this ambition that, you know, I'll work for like 2-3 years and then I'll take a sabbatical, I'll go for further studies and all that. Mm-hmm. So again, remember that if you're doing that, you're going to be in a period where there is going to be no income.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're going to be studying after 2 years or you're going to be taking a sabbatical, so there's not going to be any income over there. So you need to factor in that as well,
right?
Plus whatever education that you will go for, if at all you want to go for that, also will require you pay some fees. Maybe right. Your parents would chip in, but it's good if you can also save up.
Or you could seek an education loan, but again
you'll have to pay again over a period of time. You'll still have mm-hmm. to pay the mm-hmm. EMI
until
right?
Then you'll have to sustain for yourself
hostel yes. fees, college yes. fees, tuition fees, etc.
mm-hmm.
etc.
mm-hmm.
So that's basically you can't crystallize goals as per a template when it comes to 20s.
Mm-hmm.
It could be anything and anything, everything, but these are purely broadly the goals that a 20s can 20s person have.
Right. So, Kezad, how does a person in his 20s, with all these things coming up, whether it be a vacation or whether it be for taking a sabbatical for further studies, there are so many things. So, how should somebody in their 20s be starting out to rather invest and for this sabbatical or vacation that they plan?
Okay. So, dreams are big.
Mm-hmm.
Income is limited,
yes,
because you're just starting out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so obviously, you need to give yourself time, first of all, for your salary to go up over a period of time. So don't get dejected. I mean, it's not like you should stop living just because mm-hmm. the salary is low. You can still find a way to sort
yes.
of party. You can still find a way to go out. Nobody's mm-hmm. telling you to be so frugal that, you'll be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you need life outside work, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that the key over here is that, and there are no great big rules how to able to manage your money mm-hmm. in your 20s, even with a limited income.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one guideline that you should follow. Keep your expenses in check.
Okay.
It's easier said than done,
mm-hmm.
but a couple of things you can do towards that to be able to ensure that your expenses are in check.
Mm-hmm.
First, you can divide your expenses between something what we call as discretionary and non-discretionary.
Mm-hmm.
Discretionary is something which is at our discretion.
Right.
Do I want to do it? Can
mm-hmm.
I do it?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay if I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is going to go away.
Right.
But there are some which are compulsory expenses. Your rent is a compulsory expense. You have to pay your rent.
Yes.
You have to buy groceries for food.
Yes.
So decide what your non-discretionary expenses are
mm-hmm.
and give yourself some elbow room for entertainment and discretionary expenses also.
Okay.
Try and get the hang of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And to see that also, you have to ensure that it doesn't become like 70 or 80% of your income. Then if that is the case, then that means something is you're overspending on something. Either you're overspending on rent,
okay.
or you're overspending on expense or something like that. You have to live within your means. That is
right.
Certain. Okay.
Right.
So even if you have to, rent a place far away from work, I'm sorry to say that, but yeah, you've got to do that.
Okay.
If it means
so you need to sacrifice somewhere to balance your expenses.
Yes.
Okay.
You need to do that. Otherwise, you will just go overboard and you won't save anything.
Right.
Which is also not good,
mm-hmm.
which is in fact not good at all.
Okay.
Okay. So try and save at least 30% or 20%, 20% or 30% of your monthly take home pay, which you get in your hand.
Okay.
Put that thing aside, put that income aside, 20
okay.
or 30%.
Okay.
Okay. 30%, 40% is very good.
Okay.
Even 20, 25% also is decent enough.
Mm-hmm.
On the first day that you get your salary in your hand,
mm-hmm.
in your salary account,
mm-hmm.
that money should just go away from your salary account and should go into another bank account, which I suggest that you open for your investment purposes.
Okay, so are you saying the 30 to 40% or the entire salary should go away from the account?
No, not the entire salary.
Okay, the 30 to 40%.
That is your savings. That is your investments. That is what you're going to invest in some mutual fund or something.
Okay.
But the balance is meant for your expenses, for your lifestyle, for whatever,
mm-hmm.
for your spending,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if you want to keep that in your bank account, that's okay. But 20 or 30% should go away for your investment purpose. And that should go away on the day that your salary comes.
Okay.
Because what happens is that if you procrastinate,
yes.
then by the end of the day, you will figure out that you have only 2% of your income left in your bank account for investment. That's hardly anything.
True.
So once you do that, once you segregate your money for investments, I think everything else will eventually fall into place, because you know that this money, you would now have to survive in that 30%, 70% of the money that remains in your bank account. Mm-hmm. From where you have to pay your rent, you have to buy your groceries and all of that.
Yes.
And party, your movies, your dining out, eating out, etc., mm-hmm. etc. Et mm-hmm. Discipline about your expenses. And over a period of time, it won't happen on the first day. So the first 2, 3, 4, 5 months, you will end up spending mm-hmm. most of your salary,
right.
especially if your salary is low.
Mm-hmm.
But I think over a period of time,
you get into the habit.
Get into the hopefully.
Okay.
Hopefully, but some amount of that discipline has to be there.
All right. Okay. All right. This is also, again, a very nice thing. In fact, me being in the 30s, I feel I should go and start doing this now.
Your thing would be like 50%.
Whoa.
Not 30%.
I just hope my boss is listening. All right. So, Keza, that's another extremely interesting take. We spoke about trends, we spoke about, you know, people who want to study further, I mean, taking a sabbatical, managing their expenses. What about those living with their parents? Do you think if I was living rent-free, what I would have paid as rent, the money that is left with me, should I invest in buying a house, or should I even think that long-term with the amount that I'm earning?
You see, whenever you buy a house, mm-hmm. You need to put a down payment,
okay.
right? And then you will take a loan.
Right.
Okay. So, where are you going to get the money for down payment if you're going to buy a house right away?
Mm-hmm.
So, you need to save that money also.
Okay.
So, you need that money also, down payment also. It could be quite a big chunk of your... Obviously, the bigger the chunk, the better it is, because then your burden of paying the home loan reduces to that extent.
Yes. Yeah,
so, definitely, if you're staying with your parents,
mm-hmm.
you have that freedom of not... having to give rent.
Rent, yes.
But then obviously, then you would obviously give something to your parents as mm-hmm. a monthly expense mm-hmm. or monthly mm-hmm. sustenance or something mm-hmm. like that. You would mm-hmm. contribute to your house, right? Because
yes.
now you're earning. So you yes. need to contribute also something to your... So it's not like just because you're not paying rent, you're staying for free.
Mm-hmm.
You mm-hmm. must contribute something for
right.
your parents.
Right.
Having said that, yes, if you're living with your parents, there is, of course, a lot of... how should I put it? Less strain on your finances
mm-hmm.
because when you're living independently, you have to run the entire house practically by your own self. If you're living with your parent, you have some leeway. So there are other contributions also coming in. So use that legroom to invest more. When okay. I said 20-30% earlier mm-hmm. for somebody who's living alone, this could be 30 or 32%, 35% also. Not 30, I'm just giving a very, very ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
basically, the higher that you can save and put aside, the better.
Okay.
Now, to answer your question, whether you should rent or whether you should buy at in the 20s, definitely mm-hmm. you should continue to rent if you are living alone.
Mm-hmm.
Don't aspire to buy a house right away.
Okay.
You can aspire to buy a house in your late 20s or mid 30s when, and we'll discuss this later in the next episode when we talk about 30s.
Yes.
Because that's the age when many people get married.
Right.
So you might want to move into your house of your own.
Right.
But
right.
these days, many married couples also live on rental income.
Yes.
It depends on. I mean, if you're living in a city like Bombay, where are you going to get the budget to sort of buy a 2 crore flat
right.
in your 20s and 30s? But what you should do is that start an SIP, start mm-hmm. a systematic investment plan in your 20s. Okay?
Okay.
Imagine that you have already bought a home and like you're paying your EMIs.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of paying EMIs, you pay your SIPs.
Okay.
So that's an outgo, but you're paying, you're investing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not paying a loan. You're paying your SIP, you're investing in yes. your mutual fund.
My money will grow.
Correct.
Right.
So, do an SIP for about 10, 15 years and hopefully every year your salary would increase, right? So,
mm-hmm.
top up your salary.
Okay.
Top up your SIP.
Okay.
Always top up your SIP. Just because you start off with 1,000 rupees right now,
mm-hmm.
that does not, in 23 years, let's assume,
mm-hmm.
does not mean that you should invest 1,000 rupees for the rest of your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because your salary will also increase or investments should also increase.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully by 30, 32, you'll have a decent sum and then that will give you some courage to, you don't look very, you will. If you're disciplined, Jerome, you will.
Yes.
But right. 10, 12 years, give yourself 10, 12 years, at least to the 20s, I would say. And then think of whether you have the budget to sort of at least put a decent down payment. And then you think of buying a house maybe. The same thing I would say for buying a car also. I mean, if you have an ambition to sort of, let's say, buy a car or,
mm-hmm.
or a vehicle in future,
mm-hmm.
that's
better to wait.
Yeah, better to wait for some time. You
okay.
can start an SIP.
When you have a certain corpus.
Yeah, certain corpus and then you can go and spend it.
All right. Again, brilliant advice. I just wish I got this 15 years back. But nonetheless, so people in their 20s get a lot of indispensable income, quote unquote, called credit cards and,
yes,
you know, these personal loans, everything are available for them. Is that a no-go zone for them? Or again, being, you know, that 20-year-old person, I would have definitely taken a credit card, gone my
friends, whatever. Definitely. So, I remember when I got a credit card for the first time and it gave me a thrill to have a credit card in my hand. Mm-hmm. But it also gives you a lot of power to spend indiscriminately.
Right.
And it's a very dangerous zone. So be very careful.
Okay.
I would never advise you to take a loan on credit card. Like, you know, these days people buy expensive phones and then take EMIs. You convert your phone purchase into EMIs.
Yes.
I would never advise you to do that. Credit card loans are very expensive.
Okay. And what would be the this thing compared to a personal loan or...
a personal loan again is a no-go.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, personal loan again will be an interest rate of about 18 to 20%.
Right.
A home loan, imagine, would be around 8 to 10%.
Right.
Personal loan is a no go.
Okay.
You take a personal loan only in the rarest of the rare cases where you don't have any other alternative.
Okay.
But any kind of loan, I would say, avoid.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also impractical to say that, you know, I will never ever take any loan, even though I want to buy a house or even though I want to buy a car. It's not, we're not born millionaires, right?
Exactly.
So you have to take a loan sometime or the other, but try and keep your loan to the requirements to the minimal and try and fund it out of your own investments. And the way to do it is you start saving at a very early age so that when time comes for you to take a loan, you have a sufficient chunk of corpus of your own money to depend on so that your dependence on loan is minimal. So it works both ways.
Okay.
Some bit of hard work you also have to do internally to be able to reach that stage in your 30s or your 40s whenever you decide to actually buy a house.
Okay.
Many people buy the house even in the 40s and late 40s also.
Yes,
what happens?
Yes.
But I would say keep your credit card expenses in check. Don't have more than one credit card ideally. And keep your credit cards in check. And very important, pay all your credit card monthly bills on time. Don't pay the minimal amount.
Okay.
Many millennials these days, many young people I see, they just revolve their credit. They pay the minimal amount and then they pay the balance about next month or the month after that. Okay, so please understand, this is very, very important, very crucial. Interest rate on the unpaid amount is a massive 36% per annum.
Okay,
36% per annum.
That's
imagine,
huge.
So imagine a fixed deposit or something would give you a return of around 7-8% on one hand, but on the other hand, you're paying interest at the rate of 36% per annum. So whatever 3-4% penalty that interest rate for the unpaid amount that the credit card advertises, that is a monthly. Okay, be very careful. That's not an annual. The annual is 36% or 25%. It's as high as that. So the credit card debt is a dangerous area. You need to have a credit card. I would recommend a credit card. Many, I know my friends, some of my friends don't even have a credit card. They're very conservative.
Okay.
But that's in the rarest of the rare cases.
I come in that category. I do not carry a credit card.
Good for you then.
Yes. And all right. So this is again, you know, I do not want to use the word interesting, but this is something that every 20-year-old should, I mean, rather people in their 20s should keep in mind that spending smartly is what they should be doing, not being, you know, just because you have plastic card in your wallet, you shouldn't run around and just spend money.
And spending also, but spending you should do. Nobody's saying that you shouldn't spend.
Yes.
But spend wisely and spend smartly. And the gadgets and everything you can, but again, keep in mind your income. And then you buy. It's okay to buy a low-level phone, not necessarily an iPhone, all the time. But it still works. So long as it works, big deal.
Fair. Absolutely fair. All right. So, Kezad, our future goals and our expenses are taken care of. What about investing?
Okay. So, Jerome, one thing before investing, insurance is something that we need to talk about. So, just very quickly... everybody needs to have a health insurance. What is health insurance? To put it very simply, you go to a hospital, you incur an expense mm-hmm. over there. Okay, mm-hmm. suppose let's say if you're sick or you're hospitalized, you incur some expenses, hospitalization expenses. You right. come out mm-hmm. of the hospital when you get discharged. Mm-hmm. At the time of discharge, you have to pay the bills, right?
Right.
So medical insurance or health insurance will reimburse that amount for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Preferably, it will pay the hospital directly.
Okay.
So you have to have medical insurance because today the medical inflation in India is the highest. Okay? Okay. In the sense that your normal inflation may be 4 or 5%, but medical inflation is not 4 or 5%. Medical inflation is 12%, 15%.
Oh, okay.
That's how the medical costs go up. Okay. So it's very important for every individual to have a medical insurance.
Okay.
The good part about the 20s is that, you know, there is no history. Typically for the 20s, there is no health issues. There is no history of medical illnesses. Mm-hmm. So you can buy a large chunk of health insurance right away. Okay. Mm-hmm. And once you get inside a medical insurance, mm-hmm. then your cover, you just have to renew your cover. They cannot just tomorrow, God forbid, if you develop some illness, they cannot say that, okay, now you get out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But at that time, if you did not buy health insurance, and for you to buy a health insurance, then it would be very difficult because your pre-existing illnesses will be accounted for.
Right.
So you need to have health insurance. Mm-hmm. Buy a health insurance, mm-hmm. buy a good health insurance, mm-hmm. buy a good cover. Mm-hmm. Even if your company gives you a cover, mm-hmm. even then also you need to buy your individual cover.
Okay.
That's also very important because it's your job, mm-hmm. It's there today, not tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, your company is doing good today, but suppose if it's not, there's a recession or something like that, if a cost cutting measures, a company might just overnight cut your insurance cover. Then what are you going to do then?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have your insurance cover. So buy a good health insurance because that's number one. All after you do that,
mm-hmm.
then you can start about your investing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I would suggest obviously that before you invest for the long term, mm-hmm. for your long term goals, mm-hmm. have an emergency corpus with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That emergency corpus could be your 6 month worth of expenses,
mm-hmm.
including your loans.
Okay.
All your non-discretionary expenses, your loans or your rental and everything. 6 months worth of 6 to 12 months worth of your emergency corpus. After you build that, then you start investing, let's say, in a mutual fund. Invest in a bunch of, let's say, 1-2 equity funds and 1 debt fund. Have a PPF account, you know, that sort of a thing.
Okay.
Over a period of time, you can start off with as little as, let's say, 500 also.
Mm-hmm.
You can start off as little as 1,000 rupees also.
Mm-hmm.
And over a period of time, every year, you can go up by increasing by 500 rupees or by 1,000 rupees.
Okay. All right. All right. With that, we come to an end to this episode of Simply Saving. Do let us know how you like this podcast, whether you liked it or not, or if you have any queries on mcpodcasts@moneycontrol.com. Stay tuned for our upcoming episode where we'll be talking about how people in their 30s should be approaching investments if they've already started, how they could, you know, change their portfolios for better returns, or how, if they haven't started, how they should start. I'm going to be really interested in that because I'm going to start investing after listening to Kezad's advice.
This is Kaiser Radajania, and thanks for listening, folks.
For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thanks for listening.
This has been a Money Control presentation.